Last but not least, we have Matthew, or Birch Block. Matthew was born and raised around Palmer. He grew up hunting, fishing, and wild harvesting. He is an avid bike enthusiast and has been a volunteer for many years at Off the Chain Bicycle Collective. He has coordinated a community subsistence hunt for many years. Awesome video floating around on YouTube on that hunt, so you guys should check that out for sure. Worked as a commercial fisherman in Bristol Bay, a chaga harvester, and a personal care assistant in Wasilla. Birch lives in a dry off-grid cabin he built in historic Knick. He will be talking about the community caribou hunting by bicycle. Alrighty, thanks, Birch.
Hello. So I was asked to tell a story of a trip that we've done for, I think next year is going to be our fifth annual community bike hunt. And I just thought I'd start. The biggest story that sticks out to me is the first trip that we did out there. So I'll go back to the beginning. We did do a scouting trip the year previous, just two of us, me and my friend Gabe. And we went up to the Denali Highway. We hiked, we didn't bring bikes this time. We didn't know there were roads. We didn't know there were anything usable. So my friend Gabe and I went in for probably one of the most arduous and difficult hunts I'd ever been on. I've been hunting since I was like 10 years old. I think my dad strapped like a quarter of a moose to my back when I was 13 and just told me to walk. So we went up there, and I don't think Gabe was going to come again after this hunt, because we had gone in like 6 or 7 miles on foot walking next to this perfectly good road that would have been really nice with something that rolled. But we ended up getting a big bull caribou and splitting between two people. And with the subsistence hunt permits we're on, they require you to take out the hide, the kidneys. We took out the tongue, the brain. Like, we salvaged everything we possibly could out of this. And that's really important to us as like a subsistence group. So our packs were probably 120 pounds, which proportionally to Supermom over here maybe was not as much for body mass. But it was really hard for us to get out walking on a perfectly good bikeable road. So the next year we came back with a strong like passion. We're going to bring bikes. And most of us off the chain don't have a lot. So we were thinking like, oh my gosh, we're going to have like burly trailers and children's things that are rated to 40 pounds and they're going to all break and fall apart. We're not going to be able to put them in. And so I tried to write some, I was on a sponsorship kick for a little minute. And we wrote, I thought like maybe the best bike company that we should try to solicit was like a really surly bike. Who's going to like do this? Who's gonna? I was like, oh, we should write Surly Bikes. They're going to do it for us. And they have these two sweet flatbeds that they sent us for totally free. They send them to the Bike Collective. And these things are rated to like 300 pounds. They're just solid steel. They're really tough. So I'm like, all right, we got step one. We got our trailers. We're going to be able to do this. So we go up. We go with a crew. We get like all the group together. We have 14 people, I think. Trade out, maybe there was even 18. And like everything, we threw together some Bob trailers in there. We had the Bills and the Teds from the Surleys. And we were packing them all into the bike trailers. We had a big flatbed in Anchorage, and we were like trying to make flatbed decks the night beforehand. We got up at 5 a.m., pitch black. We're trying to drive all the way up north, so we got hours and hours of driving. I have an unregistered trailer with no lights. I have like a really old Astro van, aptly named Disastro, that's like limping along, and is pulling the trailer with all this cargo. And I had my friend trail me the whole way just to make sure that we had some like lights and hopefully didn't get pulled over. And so there's a lot of room for error in this trip. And we get up there, we unload, we go up, and we're getting like really tired. We all thought we were in pretty good shape. We all try to bike a lot and have a lot of fun biking. But if you put 100 pounds on a trailer and you bike it uphill in a valley, it's very humbling. And we weren't in as good a shape as we thought. So we get in about 6 miles, we're starting to get tired, and we were smart. We brought radios, we're like communicating with a couple of people up front, and they're like, no, there's a perfect camp, just keep coming. It's really close, and it wasn't that close. And we keep biking, we get there like pitch black, super cold, we just get set up and pass out. Next morning I wake up, we invited a lot of people who weren't really ready to hunt, so maybe there was like, out of the 14, maybe there's like two people ready to hunt. I was one of them, and maybe there was like one or two more. And then I wake up to somebody like banging on my tent, like, "Birch, there's caribou on the riverbed. You gotta get up, gotta go get them." And I woke up, there were caribou right out next to camp, just right there. And so me and another friend, we just like didn't even pack water. I don't even think I grabbed ammo. I just grabbed my gun. We just started chasing. We're like, "Oh, it's gonna be easy. We're gonna get them close." But if anybody's ever chased a caribou, it's never that easy. And so we probably chased them about 3 miles, no water, no extra, no pack, no nothing. And finally, we got two. So we have two, and we like start field dressing them. The group comes up behind us, and it's awesome to have 8 people surrounding a caribou to skin it, field dress it, get everything out, have it, start people packing out. So we get these two all ready to go. And as soon as we get those two ready to go, there's like another herd coming down the hill right after us. And so I think I have like 2 bullets left, and I'm like, I just got a drink of water from somebody. Somebody threw me a water bottle, and so I go start chasing these other herd. So we chase after those for another 2 miles. We get one. We hike back to camp, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get some breakfast. It's probably 3 p.m. And I go take a nap for about 5 minutes. The other two designated hunters, they're off up on, they go like searching for caribou in some other valley, and somebody comes beating on my tent about 5 minutes into my nap, like, "Birch, there's caribou on the riverbed. Go, grab my gun, get my gun, run out, and just start going after them. This time I had my pack, though. I had some water, I had some snacks, and then found this herd another 2 miles up or so. I don't know, distances are starting to get kind of, I'm pretty exhausted, didn't sleep very good the last few nights. And then end up going up, getting up on the herd. There's a couple nice bulls in there. Shoot at one, kind of in the brush. Didn't see where it landed, and then they came out again, shot at another one I thought was the same one, and I walked up and I had 2 more. So now I got 2 caribou. It's like not even 12 hours, and I've hunted caribou a long time since I was really young. I don't think I've ever seen this many caribou. Like 5 in one day is kind of out of control. And I was just like, what did I get myself into? This is ridiculous. So we start field dressing those. Some more people from the group show up, help us field dress them. We get them down. Luckily, somebody's like brought one of the big flatbed Surly trailers right to the road, so we don't have to pack in the last mile. They run them down to camp. We've got 5 caribou on the meat pole. We all go to bed. I think the northern lights are out real good, but I didn't see them. And then next morning, same thing. Somebody's beating on my tent. "Birch, there's caribou on the riverbed. I'm like, oh my goodness. All right. I know the other two designated hunters are in camp. I'm sleeping. I'm going to get breakfast. You two, what is it, Alan, Gabe, you guys go get those caribou." And so they go after them. I hear 2 gunshots in my bed. I'm like, oh, I guess I better get out of bed. So we got like, then we got 7 caribou on the meat pole. Those are right in camp too. So everybody got to be around. Everybody got to help out. And then now I'm thinking like, oh my goodness, how many pounds we got? 7. That's probably 800, 900 pounds of stuff we got to move. And we haven't tested it on any of these trailers yet. We're like, is this gonna work? This is probably a bad time to start thinking about those thoughts. So we start loading things up, and like just as we're leaving, I think we had a total of 8 tags total that year to bring up there. And as soon as we're leaving, we hear one more gunshot, and we're like, oh no. 8 caribou on the meat pole. So we start loading them, and actually things go pretty well. So I'll plug Surly a little bit. They got pretty good trailers. And we started hauling stuff out. We had some reinforcements. We had our friends Kendra, Will, Kate, Carp came to help us out. And they were all bike packing super light, so they were feeling pretty good by the time they got to camp that day. They did a load. I think it took about 2 days to run all this stuff out. And then put it all in the freezer, cut it all up, spread it amongst the group. And since then, we had a raging success, I guess, kind of. But since then, we've put up, the last 4 years, 2,644 pounds of caribou. They went to over 60 households, and we donated hundreds of pounds to Otna tribal offices, whose ancestral lands we were hunting on. And we hauled every bit of it out to the trailhead by bike power. And I just want to say that also that would not have been possible without there being a designated non-motorized area. I want to emphasize how important that was in like our success and the success of lots of other people. I like to see those continue, and let's like break the dominant paradigm of motorized hunting, and let's go back to foot and human power. And I think we need those areas, especially the Denali Highway area, the Clearwater Controlled Use Area, is being threatened by a lot of new trail development, and they're trying to push to lower the size of it, smaller and smaller. So it'd be nice to see that not get reduced in size, and I'd like to see closer areas so we don't have to drive 5 hours to get to a non-motorized area and closer to home. So I think a lot can happen to this. I think if people stay creative and people look at a lot of options, we can go out and we can harvest and we can subsist without turning gasoline into noise more. So. Yeah.